Jesus, we bless your name, for you are holy. Our God is holy. Our God is set apart. He's not like anybody else, for he's separate. So we thank you, God, for you are a holy God, in the name of Jesus. Mark chapter 9, verses 42 to 50 says this: If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it will be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, plug it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. Jesus, thank you for your words, and may your truth be illuminated into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, guys. Have a seat. So if you're here for the first time, welcome. If you've been away, welcome back. It's good to have you guys here. My name is Humphreys. I'm the lead pastor here. And today, I'm actually launching a new series that we're going to do just in this month of October, called My Red Flags, dealing with personal problems before they lead into relational problems. Every problem that you encounter in a relationship, could be in a romantic relationship, be it in a marriage, be it at work, be it in your friendships, at school, like any sort of problem that you encounter within a relationship, is first of all, what that means is that one of the parties in the relationship is not dealing with something they are facing in their life. So if you don't deal with your personal problem, you know what's going to happen? Your personal problem will turn into a relational problem. Then you're going to have problems in your relationship. And I think we tend to look for red flags in other people's lives. You know, like we're actually attuned or even more encouraged to look for red flags in other people's lives. But actually here the hope is that, can we shift the focus that what if we consider looking for red flags in our lives, in our own hearts, in our own lives, that we can see and seek, are there red flags in your life? Now, in our Christian walk, there are things that the Spirit of God does point out in our lives and that he wants to help us fix. But you know what? The Spirit of God, actually, he does a good job of working in partnership with us, where he will show you something in your life, but he says, can you be my partner in fixing this part of your life? And I just want to say, if there is anybody in here, maybe you are like me, that you did at some point overlook a red flag in your life, that it ruined a relationship in your life, I just want to tell you there's so much grace for you. So much grace for you. And as we are looking into this passage together, when I was reading this passage, the question that came to mind is, I was just thinking in my own life. I don't know for you guys, maybe I'll ask this question. Have you ever found yourself asking the question, how did I find myself here? What was I thinking? You know, how did I find myself here? What was I thinking? You know, and the thing is that the wrong turns that we took in life, somehow we never really imagined that they would drop us where they dropped us. You know, it's like, yes, I participated in that decision. Yes, I made the wrong choice, but somehow I'm finding myself here. And you're wondering, like, how did I find myself here? What was I thinking? What was I thinking? And I look back in my life, and sometimes I even ask the question, who was that guy that did that? Who was that guy that decided to go through that route? Like, is that the same Humphreys in that situation? Because we can actually surprise ourselves We can really surprise ourselves with our sinful habits, with the choices that we can make. They can be super surprising to us. How did I find myself here? Now, sometimes you find yourself asking this question in the middle of an act. Like you have started to take the wrong turn, and then you're like, whoa, who am I? What am I doing here? How am I finding myself doing this? What am I thinking? And then you catch yourself and you put brakes and you go out. Or sometimes you may find yourself asking this question, you know, on something that's not really detrimental to your relationship, you know, will not really ruin a lot of things in your life. So, for example, maybe you have a choice to make between cooking sima and potato chips. And you're like, no, I feel like eating potato chips today. And you start peeling the potatoes like 10 minutes in, and then Eskom goes out. You know? And then you're like, oh, what was I thinking? I should have just cooked in sima. 5 minutes, I could have been eating my sima now, even in the dark, you know? But that regret is not actually too big of a deal. I mean, you're going to be hangry for a few hours, right? But there are times that we find ourselves asking the question, how did I find myself here? What was I thinking? When it's actually too late. How did I find myself here? What was I thinking? But now it's too late. Your boss just fired you. You've lost your job. How did I find myself here? What was I thinking? But now it's too late because your business partner doesn't want to do business with you anymore. And they're out of that business and you have lost a business partner. How did I find myself here? What was I thinking? But now it's too late. Your boyfriend is tired of your behavior. And they have nothing to do with you anymore. So they're out and you have lost that relationship. How did I find myself here? What was I thinking? But it's too late. Your girlfriend thought you would change. And she tried and she thought you would change. But she's like, why did I even decide to be with this man? And she's out of that relationship. How did I find myself here? What was I thinking? But now it's too late. Your wife can keep coming back. She's fed up and now your marriage is gone. What was I thinking? How did I even find myself here? But now it's too late. Your husband can no longer endure with your behavior. And he's just like, I have tried. I thought you would change. I'm out of this marriage. How did I find myself here? What was I thinking? And your son or daughter would rather get away from your house so that she can keep or he can keep his peace. And that relationship is ruined. There are times that when we make and we take bad turns and we make certain decisions, that actually does ruin the relationships and even some relationships that we really want to be in. Relationships that really mattered or matter to us. Why do we do it? Now, the simple answer is like, hey, we're sinners. That's why we do it. But actually, you can look, there's more, you know, to why we take wrong turns. And I think one way to think about it is we tend to think of our lives in terms of headlines, you know. Pastor Humphreys caught smoking weed behind his church, like on the news, front page, right? And when that news is not there, you're like, I'm good, yeah. But before the headlines become the headlines, you've been taking some little small turns that actually now took you to the headlines. Jesus, in this passage, he is highlighting or proposing something amazing. Jesus, in this passage, he wants to say to us, like, hey, I want to give you a strategy so that you don't find yourself asking the question, why am I here? What was I thinking? He wants you to tackle this question at the front end rather than at the end of the question when everything else is gone. So he's proposing to us to embrace a gift, to embrace a gift of limits. He wants us to embrace a gift of restrictions, something that we call boundaries. He wants us to build boundaries around us. And the boundaries that Christ proposes, they're actually not easy ones. They're actually quite hard boundaries. But he wants us to create these boundaries so that we can live a full and fruitful life. a full and fruitful life. Now, boundaries are like fences. You don't build a fence for your neighbor, you build a fence for yourself, right? So boundaries are kind of like decisions or commitments that you make of the things that you can live with and the things that you can't live with. Such a bitterness. I'm going to ask you to check on my daughter in that office. Thank you. So Jesus Christ says, be intentional. Be intentional that you can create, even though there might be painful restrictions, but create them around your life. And he gives us reasons why we should actually do this. And the first reason that Christ says in this passage is, it's better to lose something you have in order to gain what you desire the most. It's better for you to lose something you have in order to gain something that you desire the most. Verse 43 says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. When you create boundaries around you, it can seem like you're losing. It can feel like you're missing out. It can feel like you're cutting something of yourself, something connected to you. And it's painful. It's not easy. But when you cut it off, at the end of that, you're going to gain something that you desire the most. Something that is amazing and beautiful. So boundaries can feel like you're missing out or you're losing out. You might love the feeling of being wanted. It's a good feeling to be wanted, to be needed, to be missed. It's actually a good feeling. So then you can continue flirting. You can continue texting. You can continue, even though you know you're committed to someone else, but you love that feeling, right? But you know what you desire deep down in your heart. What you desire the most is that you'd be a faithful partner. That's what you desire the most. What you desire the most is that you'd be present. And you'd be considerate to your partner. That's what you desire the most. Yes, you love people saying, good job, well done. You did a great job in doing this work. And you love that feeling. It's a good feeling to be appreciated. It's a great feeling. But you've gone too far that now you're sacrificing your family at the altar of your work. You're sacrificing your friendships, your family at the altar of your business. But you know what you desire the most? Deep down, you desire to be a family man or woman. You desire to be present and available. You know you desire that. So be willing to create certain boundaries in your life, because when you do, you will lose something you have, but you're going to gain something that you desire the most. And the best way that we do this is that, look at it this way, there is like a strong desire and a deep desire. A strong desire, you know, like the feeling of the moment, right? And that can take you into like all kinds of wrong turns. But then you want to respond more to your deep desire. Your deep desire is around something that God wants for you. Something that you truly, truly want in your life. That's your deep desire. And the best way that we're going to do this is we need to begin to starve our strong desires and begin to feed our souls. Because what you starve dies and what you feed grows, right? That's just the nature of it. You know, if you're going to starve it, it's going to die. If you're going to feed it, it's going to grow. And how do we starve it? Jesus Christ says you need to cut it off. Cut it off. Now I hope we all agree and we all understand that Jesus Christ is not literally saying, hey, go cut off your hands, go cut off your legs. Like, he's not saying this literally, right? But I don't want anybody else going somewhere else, cutting off their limbs, saying Humphrey said this. That's not what he's communicating. But what Jesus Christ is communicating here is that sin is so serious that we should be willing to go to greater lengths to deal with it. That's what he communicates here. What Christ communicates here says, if you're willing to deal with a red flag in your life, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you an arm and a leg, and probably even an eye. It's going to cost you. If you're going to deal with it, it's going to cost you. But we've got to be willing to do it. However, there's no joy in cutting off limbs. There's no joy. You cannot celebrate this. You cannot put it on your Facebook. Hey, hey, tonight, hashtag cutting limbs. You know, you cannot do that, right? Like, it's not fun. It's not fun to do this. But because sin is so serious, that we must be willing to go through the pain it demands to get rid of it. That we need to go through it. There will not be laughter when you're cutting a bad habit. There will not be laughter. But it is better to endure the pain. Because then you're gonna enjoy the delight that comes with being with Jesus. If you're gonna cut off something in your life, there has to be something, a pull, that pulls you to something better, something that you can delight in. And I could not think of anything else other than Jesus. Christ being somebody that we delight in. That you desire Him, you desire to be more connected to Christ, that you'll be willing to detach yourself from certain bad habits so that you can get more connected to Jesus. Because if you don't, that thing that you're feeding, it's going to grow. And eventually, it's going to kill you. So kill the sin before it kills you. And have you noticed that Jesus Christ is not saying, hey, go to your elders to cut off your legs, or go to your pastor to cut off your hands, or to gouge out your eyes. No, the responsibility is on you. It's on you. It's on every single one of us. So we need to make decisions to intentionally put some painful restrictions around our lives. Because when we do, we're going to gain that which we desire the most. The second reason that Christ gives us that why we need to do this, He says it's better to endure the momentary pain in order to gain what you can enjoy eternally. It's better to endure the momentary pain in order to gain what you can enjoy eternally. If your hand comes to you, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. It never goes out. Creating boundaries. You know, this boundary is actually the one we were talking about. Like, it's not like stopping at you. You're not just creating a boundary that just stops with you, but actually it stops with Christ. You know, where you say, I am so committed to Jesus that I would rather He determines the way I live my life. So therefore, when I create my boundaries, I will be creating boundaries around the things that Christ is concerned about so that I can honor Him, I can love Him better and more. So He says, cut it off. And cutting off is actually a suffering that we need to be willing to endure. When you're going to create boundaries around you, you're going to subject yourself to some sort of suffering in your life. But it's better you endure that momentary pain so that you can get something that you enjoy forever, something that you enjoy eternally. Jesus is so precious. Jesus is so amazing that He is worthy to spend some time with. Actually, all the time. All of the time. All of us enjoying. So maybe the question is Jesus so important to you that you would be willing to go through some momentary pain in your life so you can be with Him? Is Christ so valuable to you that you would be willing to lose a part of your body and say, I would rather be like this, but be with Jesus? Are you willing to do that? And this way of Jesus, it's as if, like, His proposal, as if, like, He chooses you, he says, choose to be imperfect, right? Because you have two hands and now you have to cut it off so you have one. You like that? Like, choose some luck in your life. And you can feel like you're choosing a losing way, you know, in a way. But actually, this is not a way of losing. This is a way of trust. This is a way of trust where you trust that I'm willing to lose something that's a part of me to be with God. And I trust that God is so powerful that even when I lose something, He will give me something better than what I had. He'll give me something amazing than what I had. That you would say, I would rather live with an imperfection so I can live with a perfect God who can make me perfect. Because He can. Jesus is so precious that we must be willing to endure certain pains, certain kinds of suffering in our life so that we could be with Him. Lastly, the third reason, Christ says, it's better to give up the appearance of freedom so that you can gain the truest freedom. It's better to give up the appearance of freedom so you can gain the truest freedom. Verse 47, and if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Boundaries are a way of giving up our freedoms so that we can experience the truest freedom that God gives us. You know, a life with no limitations is actually a myth. It's actually not a good life. You know, you cannot thrive at anything if there's no limitations. Like, you cannot thrive at school if there's no limitations in your life. If you're not willing to be like, hey, I'm now being tethered to this school, I'm in this season, I need to study. If you're going to study, like, you need to be willing to be like, hey, I'm letting go of certain things in my life so I can thrive. In your business, at work, wherever you are at, for you to thrive in that space, you need to be willing to be tethered to something. You need to be willing to embrace the gift of limitations. Because the value of your freedom is actually in the presence of your limitations. That's where it is. Like, when we come to Jesus and we're being tethered to Christ, there are certain things that Christ would be doing in our lives that will actually be good and better for us. That will flourish our lives. So your true freedom is actually in being tethered. Freedom is being tethered to the right thing. Like, that's your truest freedom. And there's no better right thing than Jesus. How can you apply this quickly? Number one, identify your weak spot. Identify your weak spot. Jesus says, if your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. If your leg causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, like, gouge it off. Identify your weak spot. Like, it's going to be a disaster if it is your arm causing you to sin and then you go and cut off your leg. Like, it's going to be a disaster. If it is your eye causing you to sin, and then you're cutting off your arm. Like, it's going to be a disaster, right? So you need to identify. So where am I weak? Maybe it's not good for me to be on social media at 9 p.m. That could be for you, right? Maybe it's not good for me to keep talking to this person because I'm weak. When I'm in their presence, I'm actually just weak. Maybe it's not good for me to be on Twitter at work because when I start 3 hours later, like, I'm still on Twitter. I'm not doing my work and it's ruining my friendship with my boss or my colleagues. Where are you weak at? What's not good for you that you need to notice? This is where my weak spot is at. Is it your arm? Is it your eye? Is it your leg? Where is it? And when you identify, the second practical thing to do is to get rid of it. Get rid of it, yeah? Get rid of it. Because, like, your arm, you have identified it, now you're chopping it off. You're getting rid of it. What could getting rid of it look like for you? Maybe for some of you, is to avoid. Like, hey, I need to avoid going into that space. I need to avoid going there. Some of it is really like just stopping, right? Like, I need to stop. Or maybe I need to pause. And maybe I need to pause for a while. Yeah? I remember 2020 was really horrible for me with social media. I think just because, like, I mean, we're doing church online and, you know, stuff like that. So I'm always, like, on social media. And I became numb. I became super numb to bad news. You know, like, that time, I think it was, you know, like, 5 people die in a day and be like, oh, at least it's 5 people that have died. It's not 20 people of COVID. Do you remember that season? And it's like, no, there's no at least, there's no, like, better. lives have been lost. But somehow I became numb to it. And I remember seeing myself even overlooking bad news. Like, if you had bad news, I'd walk away from you. Like, I don't want to hear any bad news in my life. And that, like, made me not really respond well when people are telling me something hard in their lives. So I realized that my heart has become callous to something that breaks people, that breaks God's heart. So I was like, I need to take a break. So I took a break from social media, mainly Facebook and Twitter. And it's been amazing, absolutely amazing. Of course, it's made me like to go on the other side. Like, I'll see an animal being like, you know, being treated badly. I'll be like, oh, look at this, you know. Maybe some of you need to leave something behind. That's getting rid of it. Maybe for some of you, it's to confess. Maybe confess it, you know. Maybe you've been trying to work at this by yourself. But maybe confess it to someone else. Maybe somebody has to walk with you, has to come alongside you. You need to detach. Confession is good. You cannot fix what you cannot name, right? Maybe you need to ask for help. Now, just want to talk to somebody. You might be here like me. You have regrets in your life. And some of the regrets that we're holding are actually quite painful regrets. You ask the question, how did I find myself here? What was I thinking? There's some regrets that I have that I don't even want to think about them. I don't know if some of you have those. You're like, I don't even want to consider that. Sometimes I even make a loud noise, like literally. Like, it comes to mind, I'd be like, ha ha! Like, so that it goes away. I don't want to think about it. I don't know if you have that. I want to distract myself from it. But however painful your regret might be, God's grace is final. Your regret might be painful, but God's grace for you is final. Yes, you have made mistakes. Yes, you have sinned. And maybe you have lost things that you never gain back. Maybe you have lost things that will never come back to you. But however painful your mistakes might have been, but God's grace for you is final. Regret says you're done, but Jesus says, I'm not yet done with you. I have a lot of work to do in your life. I'm here with you. So God is with you. God is for you. And if you are sitting in that regret, God offers you his grace. And he says, I'm not going to run away from you. I'm not going to get away from you. I'm here. I also want to talk to someone who maybe is hurt because a friend, a colleague, a partner overlooked their own red flags and they hurt you so much. You could not imagine yourself walking away from this job. You could not imagine yourself walking away from this relationship. And you're sitting and you're like, I thought it would happen to someone else, but not me. I tell you that I see you and I love you. And God sees you and he loves you. It's never easy to walk away from something that you thought this was final. This was final for the rest of my life. It's never easy. But God loves you. You might have lost something, but God keeps you. God is the one that keeps you. And he'll continue to keep you. And he's for you. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. Wherever you're at, maybe you're full of regrets of the red flags that you have overlooked in your life. And you have taken wrong turns and you've made mistakes. Jesus is not about wanting you to justify, but it's about having you surrender. That you surrender this to Jesus. Because every single time you come to Christ in surrender, he welcomes you. And he has so much grace for you. And you might be here, maybe hurt with the actions of another. Jesus is for you. And he is so close to those that are heartbroken. He's so close to those that are crushed in his spirit, because there's no human being who can understand what a crushed spirit looks like or feels like. Only God can. And he knows and he sees. And he is with you. Just take a moment to just come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I come to you now in this moment. So offer yourself to Jesus. Offer yourself to Christ, because he has offered himself to you. You might be here and you're like, I quite like what you're talking about, Jesus, but I have no relationship with him. Maybe you came with a friend today and you have not really put your... You've not really put your faith in Jesus to trust him for your salvation. Jesus is for you too. I want to just ask you to just pray with me so that you invite Christ into your heart. Feel free to just go after me saying, Jesus, I come to you. I know now that you are for me. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my sin. Spirit of God, help me follow Jesus. Help me walk in his ways. God, I thank you for every single one of us here. You know our journeys. You know where we've been. But God, we are here. We are here in your presence, and you have so much grace for every single one of us, no matter where we are at. So we want to receive that from you today. In the name of Jesus, amen.